Will you please turn to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. We'll read the first 9 verses. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1. And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me a heave offering of every one whose heart prompteth him. Ye shall take my heave offering. And this is the heave offering that ye shall take of them, gold and silver and copper, and blue and purple and scarlet, and byssus and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red, and beige skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the incense of fragrant drugs, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and they shall make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I shall show thee, the pattern of the tabernacle, and a pattern of all the utensils thereof, even so shall ye make it. Chapter 35. Verses 4 and 5. Chapter 35, verses 4 and 5. And Moses spoke to all the assembly of the children of Israel, saying, This is the word which Jehovah has commanded, saying, Take from among you a heave offering to Jehovah. Everyone whose heart is willing, let him bring it. Jehovah's heave offering. And verse 20. And all the assembly of the children of Israel departed from before Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart moved him, and everyone whose spirit prompted him. They brought Jehovah's heave offering for the work of the tent of meeting, and for all its services, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, everyone who was of willing heart, brought nose rings and earrings and rings and bracelets, all kinds of utensils of gold, every man that wave a way offering of gold to Jehovah. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet, and bison and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red, and beige skins brought them. All they that offered a heave offering of silver and copper brought Jehovah's heave offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for all manner of work of the service brought it. And every woman that was wise-hearted spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, the blue and the purple and the scarlet and byssus, and all the women whose heart moved them in wisdom spun goat's hair, and the principal men brought the onyx stones and the stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and the spice and the oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the incense of fragrance drug. The children of Israel brought a voluntary offering to Jehovah, every man and woman whose heart prompted them to bring for all manner of work, which Jehovah, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. Chapter 36. Beginning with verse 4. Verse 4 through verse 7. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which he wrought, they wrought, and spoke to Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work that Jehovah commanded to be done. Then Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed through the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the heave offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the work they had was sufficient for all the work to do it, and it was too much. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast redeemed us for Thyself. We do praise and thank Thee that we may come to Thee to praise and to worship Thee. We praise and thank Thee that we may come to Thee to hear Thy Word. We praise and thank Thee that we may come to Thee to give what Thou hast given to us. And our Father, our hearts do rejoice in Thy presence that Thou should treat us so nobly, so graciously, so mercifully. We just commit this time into Thy hands and ask that Thy Holy Spirit will quicken Thy word to our heart. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. When we think of the wilderness journey of the children of Israel, probably we think of all the tragedies, of all the failures, the shortcomings that the people of God went through during those years. And it is very true that they failed greatly. They offended the Lord many times. They were disobedient. They were in much lack of faith. But sometimes we tend to forget that even in the days of their wilderness journey, there were great things happening in their midst. Great and glorious things. For instance, the receiving of the law is one of the great things. Is there any nation among all the nations that are privileged to receive such righteous statutes and ordinances as the nation of Israel received from God, the law? Is there any nation that God was so near to as God was near to the children of Israel? Indeed, they received the glory and the covenant and the law. But I think even more glorious then the receiving of the law was the making of the tabernacle. Why? Because the law is just a process. But the tabernacle is the purpose. God's purpose is to dwell among His own people. And this purpose was fulfilled with the children of Israel in the wilderness through the making of the tabernacle. Now, in a sense, we are all in the wilderness today. The world is a wilderness. It is a great and terrible wilderness. And we are strangers and sojourners. We are passing through. And how true it is that as we pass through this terrible wilderness, the world, we experience many failures. We have failed many times. There are tragedies in our lives. But thank God, there are also glorious things while we are passing through. And I think the greatest glory of all is the building of the house of God. It is now. It is in this world that God is building His own house. God is building us together to be a dwelling place of His. God is fulfilling His eternal purpose in us, even today, in this world. I think this is the most glorious thing that can ever happen today. Now, of course, today God is not interested in building a physical, material building. His whole concern is building his people together as his dwelling place. God today is after spiritual reality. He is not after something that is temporary, that will soon pass away. The analogy of the tabernacle in the wilderness is the building of the spiritual temple, the holy habitation of God among his people today. But let us remember, the principles that govern the building of the tabernacle are the same principles which govern the building of the house of God today. God is not building a physical building today. He is building a spiritual building. But the principles remain the same. And another thing is, when God is building the spiritual house of God, everything that relates to the building of that spiritual house must be governed by the same principles. In other words, God today is building a spiritual house. He is building with you and me as living stones. And he built us together according to spiritual principles. But these spiritual principles apply not only to us, but to everything that has anything to do with the spiritual house. For instance, even in the furnishing of a place for the meeting of that spiritual house of God. Now, it has to be governed by the same principles. God does not work along one principle in one area and another principle entirely opposite in another area. God's principles remain the same in everything. Everything that concerns, everything that is related to the house of God today must be done according to the spiritual principles that he has laid down. And this is what we want to learn this morning. What are the spiritual principles that govern the building of the house of God in all its areas? God wanted to dwell among his people Israel. Now, why is it that God does not just drop a tabernacle down from heaven into the midst of the children of Israel and dwell among them? Is it not true that God supplied the needs of the children of Israel in the wilderness? Is it not true that he opened heaven and rained manna upon them? Is it not true that he made water flow out of the smitten rock? Is it not true that he led them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire? Is it not true that God supplied every need that the children of Israel had during their wilderness journey? Now, if God supplied all their needs, why is it that God did not supply the tabernacle too? There is no reason why he couldn't do it. Certainly he was able to do it. But why didn't he do it? I think that is a question that should be answered. First of all, God did supply every need of ours. But there is one thing, and that is God's need has to be supplied by God's own people. God supplies all our needs, but His need must be supplied by His own people. If God should drop down a tabernacle from heaven to supply His needs, it will violate His way of operation. Why? Because suppose His people does not want Him to dwell among them. Will it not be that God forces Himself upon His people? And this is something that God will never do. God never forces Himself upon His people. He never wants us to be forced into a situation for Himself. Now, it is true, He gave everything to us to supply our needs. And yet, so far as His need is concerned, He is always waiting for His people to be willing, to want Him to dwell among their midst. So that is one reason why that tabernacle has to be made by the children of Israel. God will not supply it. The children of Israel had to supply it to show that they did want God to dwell in their midst. Secondly, if God should supply that tabernacle to the children of Israel, the children of Israel will never be able to grow into fullness. In other words, they will remain as babes because everything was supplied to them. They had nothing to give. They didn't need to do anything. Everything was just given and given and given to them. They will remain babes all the time. They will never grow up. They will never reach maturity. They will never enter into fullness. And God's purpose is that we enter into fullness. God gave that they, the children of Israel, may also give. And that is a tremendous principle you'll find in the Bible. When you read the story of Exodus, you remember how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt? Men, women, children. How Pharaoh hesitated to let them go. At first he would not let them go at all. Then he consented to let the man go. Then he consented to let the woman and the children go too. And you'll find that the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, men, women, and children, with their sheep and their cattle. But one thing you notice, in Exodus chapter 11, God said, before you go out of Egypt, ask your neighbors, that is the Egyptians, of utensils of gold and utensils of silver. Now, why did God give such a command? And sure enough, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they asked their neighbors on the right and on the left, they asked for utensils of silver, utensils of gold, and clothing. And the result was they spoiled the Egyptians. They took away all the good things that the Egyptians had. Oh, they were so enriched. They went out as a rich people. Not just merely fled out of Egypt, but they marched out of Egypt with spoils, much spoil. They spoiled the Egyptians. Now, why is it that God should give them such a command? Is it that God wants these people to live a luxurious life, that they may enjoy abundance? Or, as some people said, because they were slaves to the Egyptians for hundreds of years, and God being a just God, God wanted to let them have their wages paid. They haven't been paid for hundreds of years. So God allowed them to ask the Egyptians and got all these gold and silver in order to be paid. Now surely God is a righteous God. But can it be that there's something more to it? And of course, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, with all these gold and silver, they didn't know why. Probably they were thinking it was because God wanted them to receive their righteous wages. Or some people may even think that God wanted them to live nobly, richly, abundantly, luxuriously, and just enjoy themselves. Not until they came to Mount Sinai. Not until God gave them the law. Not until God began to reveal His purpose of redeeming them to them. They were a redeemed people. But they did not know why they were redeemed. Probably they thought that God redeemed them so they might be free. Free to do anything they like to, everywhere, anywhere they like to go, and free to live richly and abundantly as they want to. Probably. They didn't know the purpose of redemption. It wasn't until as a redeemed people they came to Mount Sinai, and God began to reveal to them His purpose of redeeming them. Now, what is God's purpose of redeeming this people? His purpose is He wanted to dwell among them. He wanted to make His home in their midst. That was God's purpose. But in order to dwell among them, He needed a sanctuary. He needed a tabernacle. But this tabernacle must be built by His redeemed people. And in order to build this tabernacle, there will be the need of gold and silver and clothing. God gave all these to them to enable them one day to give back to God. God redeemed them that they might fulfill God's purpose of redemption. Now, what a glorious thing this is. Dear brothers and sisters, do you know that there is a principle in the Scripture? And the principle is God gives that we may give. Now, oftentimes we think that thank God that He gives. The more the better. But after we are being given, we are given. What do we do with what we have received? Does it ever occur to you that God gives you that you may give? Or do you think that God gives you that you may enjoy yourself? Now, certainly God wants us to enjoy. He gives that we may enjoy, that is true. But is that all? Or is that the reason for giving? God gave the children of Israel so much. There is much they could enjoy. But the first thing is, God gave that they may give. Why are we redeemed? Are we redeemed just that we may go to heaven, walk the streets of gold, playing harps, and have a good time? Why are we redeemed? We are redeemed that God may have His home in us. That we may build God a house. That we be God's house. That He will be so happy and satisfied that He may rest among His people. This is why we are redeemed. And you find this principle run through every area of our life. He gives and gives and gives. And dear brothers and sisters, do not forget, He gives that we may give. I think this is one of the greatest things that can ever happen to our lives. If He gives, and we just use it all up for ourselves, do you think we fail to see the reason why God gives? If He does not give, we will have nothing to give. But if He does give, that we may give, what a privilege that is. That is leading us to maturity. That is leading us to fullness. But unfortunately, before the children of Israel were able to go before the Lord, be prompted in their spirit to give, the enemy came in first. While Moses went up to the mount to receive the law, there you'll find in the plain, the children of Israel said, "We do not know what happened to Moses. He was away for such long time. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. We didn't know what happened to him. We need a God to lead us." So they came to Aaron and asked Aaron to make a God for them that they might be led. And Aaron said, "Give me the gold from your bracelets and earrings and nose rings." So you'll find these people began to gather all these gold rings and nose rings and bracelets, and Aaron melted them and molded them into a golden calf. And the children of Israel worshiped the golden calf, call it their god, and they play and they feast around it. God sent Moses down from the mountain. When Moses saw He broke the two tables of law. And you know what he did? He ground the golden calf into powder and scattered them upon the water and made the children of Israel drink their own sin. What a waste. The gold that God gave them, that they might give back to God to build the tabernacle. Some of them was taken away from God and was used to be made a golden calf. An object of worship. Wasted. Completely wasted. What a pity. Brothers and sisters, do you think here is a lesson that we need to learn? God gives that we may give back to God. But the enemy knows about it. The enemy tries to come in to rob God of His glory. The enemy comes in trying to take away from that which belongs to God. And the enemy will come in and try to make us waste it upon ourselves. And worse than that, even to make it an object of worship. How much have we wasted what God has given to us upon ourselves? And how much we have made what God has given us objects of worship? And that's the reason why the Lord said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and serve mammon. You either respect the one or despise the other. Love the one or hate the other. There is a spiritual conflict going on. And God's people are not conscious of it. Do you know that in the very matter of God's giving to us, there is a higher purpose to it? And do you know in the very thing that God has given to us, it can be wasted? It can become a reason for sin even, an object of worship, or it can be an object of service unto God. Of service unto God. There is a conflict going on. But thank God, He is merciful. God forgive them. God not only forgive them, but the one thing that touched me very, very deeply, was God still commanded them to make Him a tabernacle. To be forgiven is one thing, but to be forgiven to such a degree that God still wanted to dwell among them. Now that's beyond my understanding. Such a people, will God still want to dwell among them? You may think God say, all right. You are such a people. I don't want to dwell among you anymore. I will forgive you, yes. But I will not dwell with you anymore.
But thank God. You'll find that for the second time, that shows how full is God's forgiveness. For the second time, God commanded the children of Israel to make him a tabernacle. God's purpose is not affected by our failure. Thank God for that. And God said, make me a heave offering. Everyone whose heart is prompted, everyone whose spirit is moved, let him bring a heave offering to me. Gold, silver, copper, blue, purple, scarlet, skins, acacia wood, all kinds of things, onyx stones. Bring me a heave offering. Now, what is a heave offering? A heave offering is a voluntary offering. A heave offering is a love offering. A heave offering is not something that is offered out of obligation or out of duty. A heave offering is an offering, it's a free will offering. It is something that you offer out of love. That is why you find that it has to be prompted in the heart. It has to come from your spirit. And God said, give me a heave offering. Everyone that is prompted in his spirit and in his heart, let him bring. Why? Because this tabernacle cannot be built with anything that is compulsory. This tabernacle cannot be built with anything that is just obligation or duty. God will never find rest in such a tabernacle. It has to be built with free will offering. It has to be built with voluntary offering, with love offering, with offerings that are offered out of the heart and of the spirit. Now, this is the only way that the tabernacle could be made. Here we find another principle. And it is the principle of heave offering. Anything that is related to the building of the house of God has to be in the principle of heave offering. If the children of Israel will come and pile all the gold and the silver there and made a tabernacle for God, but if their hearts were not touched by God, these gold and silver will be rejected by God. In other words, the heart, the spirit, is the most important element. It has to come from the very heart. It has to come from the spirit. And it has to be a free will, has to be voluntary. It has to be a love offering, because God will not accept any other offering but such offering. So God commanded, anyone whose heart is prompted, come and offer. Now this time the children of Israel departed. After they heard the commandment, they departed. It was not something that is stirred emotionally at the moment, you know. But after they heard the commandment, they departed. They all went to their own tent to be before God. Then they came. They came. Everyone whose heart is ready. Everyone whose spirit is prompted. They began to come and bring gold and silver and whatever they found in their hands. It's very interesting when you read it, you find morning by morning they came. Some came with gold. Some came with silver. Some came with goat skins. Some came with blue, purple, and scarlet that they spun. Some came with acacia wood. And the principal man came with onyx stones. You find people came bringing whatever God had given them. Whatever were in their hands, whatever were the hands of their work, they work on it. Whatever were the works of their hands, they brought to God. Morning by morning, they came. How did they come? Did they came with drums beating, cymbals clanging? Did they came with exuberant spirit? Did they came with boastful attitude that they could give to God? Did they came with such a kind of atmosphere? No. I believe when they came in subdued spirit. They came with hearts full of gratitude. They came with tears. Why? Because they were so thankful to God. They came with tears not because they were reluctant, loath to part with the things they had. No. They came with tears because they thought they should be a people rejected. And yet God still received them. They came with such a spirit of thankfulness, of gratitude. That is the spirit of giving. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, if we do not give out of our heart, it's nothing to God. If we do not give with thankful heart, it is not the right spirit. How thankful the children of Israel must be those days as they brought these gifts to God, that God should accept them. I wonder whether there will be some who have put all their gold to make the golden calf. There was nothing left to give. If that is the case, what regret it must be. I wonder whether some will come and say, I should be able to give more, but I have given to the golden calf already. What regret that must be. Brothers and sisters, is it not true? When God has a need, and when He wants His people to meet that need, His people find that they couldn't meet it. Why? Not because God hasn't given, but because they have wasted it. Somewhere, it has been wasted. On themselves? Or even worse. And what a regret it will be. Oh, but how thankful that He gave so much, that even after we have wasted so much, there is still so much left to give. Now that is the glory of God's giving. And you know what? They came morning by morning, unceasingly. Oh, some may come and come again. Until finally the workers on the various works of the tabernacle, they had to come to Moses and, "Moses, we already have more than we need. You have to stop them giving. It is just too much." And here you'll find Moses gave the commandment and said, "No more giving. Neither man or woman, don't come and give." And I love these words. They were restrained from bringing. Now, if you want to make that the topic of this message, that would be fine. Restrained from bringing. Now, if we write a chapter, probably we would say, restrained to give. Constrained to give. Not restrained to give. Constrained to give. Probably that will be what the chapter heading should be. But when the Holy Spirit writes, He said, restrain from bringing. People have to be restrained. Their hearts are so touched by the love of God, by the mercy of God, that they wanted to give. They just want to give. They give too much. Not too little, but too much. And they have to be restrained from bringing. And you know, that is another principle that governs the building of the house of God. In the building of the house of God, it is never too little. It shall always be too much. It should not be just constrained to give. It shall always be restrained from giving. That is how the house of God is built. Now, brothers and sisters, I share these principles with you. Not because, just because we are in the process of having a new place. But I share these principles with you because I feel God uses this opportunity to teach us some valuable lessons. Probably these lessons we will never learn if we do not have this opportunity. We will probably never touch upon these principles if we do not have this opportunity. But I feel that since God has given us this opportunity, we should learn the lessons that God wants us to learn as His people. Not only in the matter of giving for supplying that new place for the meeting of God's people. Now, of course, this is part of it. But I think there is something more than that. Because I do feel that these principles must govern the spiritual building of the house of God. When we are giving to meet God's need, first of all, we remember, if He doesn't give, we have nothing to give. Therefore, all comes from God. Now, true it is that God does require us to give heave offerings. But remember, before God asks us to give Him heave offerings, He gave first. So after all, it is God who supplies all the needs, even His own need, but through His people. By first giving to them, that they may give back to Him. Now that is the way God's need is to be met. And secondly, it must be in the spirit of heave offering. Our heart must be in it. Only thus can we be built together. And thirdly, we must come in the right spirit, the spirit of thankfulness, that God should forgive us and should be so merciful to us, so gracious to us, that He still wants us for Himself. We have to come in that kind of spirit. And I do believe if God's people will all come in such spirit and will all give to God to meet God's need in such a spirit, the result will be we have to be restrained from bringing. In the physical giving, we need to learn the spiritual principles. And this is what we really need to learn before God. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee this morning, our hearts are full of thanks and gratitude. First of all, we do realize that all things come from Thee. Thou art the giver of all good things. If Thou dost not give, then we have nothing. But we praise and thank Thee that Thou art such a bountiful, merciful God. Thou dost give and always gives. But our Father, we do want to confess before Thee. Oftentimes we think that what is given to us is for us to use and to enjoy. To use upon ourselves, we think we have the right to do it. But our Father, we do ask Thee to show us, even though Thou dost want us to enjoy, and yet there is something that we should not forget, that Thou dost give that we may give. This is the way that Thou dost lead Thy people. We pray that we may be a people who receive much and give much. And because we give much, we may receive much. That Thou can entrust us with more because we are faithful. O Lord, we ask Thee to forgive us our past sins. We ask that we may still be acceptable in Thy sight. Through Thy beloved Son, that Thou dost still desire that we should supply Thy need. O Lord, we pray that we may give ourselves and all that we have as a heave offering unto Thyself. We pray that we may not feel obligated or condemned, but Lord, that we may feel honored, we may feel love by Thee, that Thou dost desire us to come, give ourselves to Thee. Lord, we pray that we may not come with a boastful attitude, but we may come with humble hearts.
Lord, we pray that as we come together to give ourselves and all that we have to Thee, oh, that the spiritual house of God may be built, that Thou mayest find love there, Thou mayest find satisfaction there, that Thou mayest find rest among Thine own people. Oh Lord, we do want Thee to have what Thou want, and we just ask that we may be privileged, be led to such a degree that we may not only be constrained, but we may be restrained even from bringing, for there is too much. Lord, this is how it should be, because Thou dost deserve it. Thou art such a God. We ask that Thou will touch our hearts and bring us to that place where we may satisfy Thy heart as Thou hast satisfied us. We ask all in the name of our Lord Jesus and for His glory alone. Amen.